Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners. You are live with Apostle John L. Solomon, the lion among lions in the lion's den. It is my purpose today to bring you strength. Strength from the Lion's Den is a compelling talk show that discusses life's difficult situations through relevant topics, important issues, empowerment from a biblical perspective. The Lion's Den will bring you the energy of encouragement, transcendent godly wisdom, the efficacy of knowledge and education, and primarily strength to the weary in life from the sourcehood of our connection with our Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want you today is roar. Come on, roar for your victory, roar for your power, roar for your prosperity, roar for your deliverance, and roar for your strength. Listen, strength from the Lion's Den today, our subject is men on a mission, the power to achieve. Goals, dreams, visions, and new levels are things that some or most men should strive for. But however, they encounter obstacles that thwart those plans and leave them sitting on the sidelines spectating, waiting to be put back in the game of life. My panelists and I tonight will discuss how you can get back into the game and become effective and regain the relevance and power to make it happen. I got some very, very wonderful men on this panel today. Listen, my first guest, he's the father of two adult daughters and a son. He has 17 years in the ministry and is a community activist as the president of the mentoring and leadership organization called TRAP. Truth, Reality, and Perseverance. He studied systematic theology at Crossroads Seminary and Biblical Studies and Christian Leadership at Liberty University. He served at Greater Zion Hill Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia as an ordained deacon and Sunday school teacher and youth minister. He later moved to Columbia, South Carolina and served at St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church as an associate minister, Sunday school teacher, and advisor. He is currently the pastor and founder of the House of David Worship Center in Macon, Georgia. He is the hardest working man in ministry, Pastor Larry Wilson. Pastor Larry.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Doc. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Glad to have you on the show, brother.
Listen, yes, sir. Glad to be here.
My next guest is a procurement professional living in Kingsport, Tennessee, where he manages energy and industrial gases for a specialty chemical company with 20-plus plant sites in North America. He holds a degree in finance from the University of Tennessee and an MBA from East Tennessee State University with an amazing background in financial services, banking, and logistics. He's married to the amazing Andrea Wilcox, the author of Startup Savvy and Superwoman Smarts. His son, Cody, is a junior in high school, and his daughter, Barbara, is a senior in college. He loves college football, working out, and collecting vinyl. We cry Beyoncé, let me see. Bosion, that's it right, Lonnie. Bosion for the remarkable Mr. Lonnie Salyer. Lonnie, glad to have you tonight.
Oh, thank you, John. I'm excited to be on the show and
good.
Just share some experiences and learn what I can from your other guests. So I'm excited to be here.
All right now. Well, okay. Listen, my last guest, he's the father of five. His daughter, Justice, a junior Ford at Auburn University. Daughter, London, Sharon, Nicholas, and... How do I pronounce that last? Your last
child,
Tyus. Okay, Tyus.
Yeah.
My guess. He was born with basketball in his blood, as his father is Ronnie Bulldog Martin, who was an all-city basketball player for Mark Smith Lassiter. That's Northeast, for those who don't know, and Savannah State University. My guest began his basketball training under the tutelage of the late coach Robert Hudson and the late coach Jesse Carter. Despite self-proclaimed clumsiness and an awkward start, he persisted, and his coaches led him to Miles Patrick, who became a role model and also helped groom him. His mother, Carolyn Wright, made sure that he had every advantage to become good in the game. He played for Southwest High School from 1988 to 1991 and won a state championship along with three Final Fours and many regional titles. In 1990, he was named Parade All-American. In 1991, McDonald's All-American. He was ranked 10th in the country among top players in America. He elected to accept an offer to play for Clemson University, the old Tigers, over other offers from a host of other prominent schools. He's an ACC Hall of Famer as well as a Clemson University Hall of Famer and is accredited with changing the culture of Clemson basketball. Now, as a junior, he entered the 1994 NBA draft and was selected as the sixth overall pick by the Philadelphia 76ers, making NBA all-rookie and averaging double figures each year in both scoring and rebounds. After 2.5 seasons, he was traded to the Toronto Raptors, where he was again a starter for 4 years and a big contributor to their playoffs runs. After Toronto, he played for the Minnesota Timberwolves and then Europe for many years. Now, with two keys to the city of Macon, not one, but two keys to the city, come on now, and years of service for the city he loves, he continues to be an advocate for Macon kids and role model both on and off the court. And he's the founding facilitator of a 20-year basketball camp that specializes in skill set basketball, yet also focuses on education and social skills. He is the legend, Sharon Wright. Sharon, glad to have you on the show.
Hey, John, man, thank you so much. I've been looking forward to it the whole week.
Oh,
man. I try to set my clock to it and all that. I'm traveling actually right now, so
okay.
I'm spending some time with my boys, but I'm glad to be on.
Good, man. Hey, well, y'all, let's hear it for our panelists tonight that are here with us today. All right, let's talk some stuff. Now, before I get started, somebody told me to share something with y'all. Okay, I better start right there. But just talk. I know they want me to finish it up, you know, go on what he said, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman. We'll just start right there with a man's world. Now, let's start off. I'm going to start with you, Pastor Larry. A personal mission statement provides clarity and gives you a sense of purpose. It defines who you are and how you will live. What is your mission statement in life that represents your passion for living?
In spite of all the difficulties that we see, my passion is to continue to strive on in the manner of what God called me to be. I have seen a lot of different views of different obstacles in life, but the main thing, my mission is, no matter what come my way, stand on God's word.
Okay. Man, well, we thank you for that. You just keep on doing it, too. What about you, Lonnie? What's your personal mission statement?
Well, mine is simple, but there's a deeper layer to it. It's enjoy life. And I say that, a lot of people get bogged down with the battles and the struggles and you know, the things that hold them back, and they don't see the small blessings in their life. So I always say enjoy life, you know, relish those battles. Anything that's a struggle, learn from it, because, you know, when your opportunity arises, you know, if you prepared yourself by going through all the struggles, your possibilities of success increase significantly, you know, if you weathered the storm and you're ready for those opportunities when they arise. So enjoy life.
That's good. Enjoy life. What about you, Sharon?
I think for me, I kind of have it from a different perspective, because the one thing, and I'm a late bloomer in terms of my faith, so y'all excuse me on that. I'm a late bloomer.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Only because, you know, I was spoon-fed what life's supposed to be about, and I was spoon-fed it and not told that my faith had to be first, my first initial year. So, in becoming a man, I, John and I grew up in a poverty situation. We grew up, You know, although he had a great father and mother, we still lived in bad surroundings. So I always blame that on God. I always did that. It's blasphemy, I know. But for me, I didn't have any other way. So once I found out, you know, who my father was, that's when I start saying, always walk by faith and not by sight. So that would be mine. You know, now I walk by faith and not by sight. Not things that I can't see, but I know is there. When I know that God is there with me, he's brought me. You know, guys, we don't have enough time to tell you where I've been.
So. Come on, man. I'm gonna stay with you for this next question. What adversity can you pinpoint that happened in your life that you turned to your advantage? Because, you know, we've been through so many things that we could just name them one by one. But what one thing can you point to that you turned to your advantage and it made you a stronger man or the person that you are?
I think for me, and I'll need a minute, I was flying pretty high. You know, I had been in the NBA for a couple of years, two or three years, and Macon, Georgia is a place that's really dear to me. So I always feel like I owe something there. I mean, it could be multiple things, but I was hanging out with some friends one night, a Friday night, and then I came the next morning. We were, you know, drinking and stuff like that. And the next morning, I forgot that I had supposed to read stories to the people at the Harriet Tubman Museum, the kids there. I do it in the summertime, along with my camps that I do. So I'm driving there really fast, going about 75 on a curve, and flipped my car over about four or five times, and each time breaking a part of my arm and my left side.
Man.
So I had been going kind of flying by the seat of my pants, man. I had so much sinful stuff going on, and we all do. But I mean, I think I was overboard. I did not believe in a higher power. You know, I kind of was just flying by the seat of my pants, and so I wake up unconscious. I mean, before that, I had a $40, $50, or $60 million extension on the table, and I think had I not got hurt, I would be dead today, because I was going too fast. I had too much going on. And it just, you know, I would definitely not be here today if it weren't for that.
Wow.
It weren't for God saying, hey, like, you just got to calm yourself down, whether you're playing ball or not. I can get more into it, you know. But
no, man, that's powerful, man. That's powerful.
Yeah.
What about you, Lonnie?
Well, you know, I thought about this question, and I say this, I wish her the best in life. And that she reaches all the blessings and all the things that she can get out of life. But my first marriage, there was a lot of adversity there. There was it was very dysfunctional. It led to some bad choices on my part. You know, that part of that was a public embarrassment. But, you know, the thing out of that, the blessings, you know, it helped me mature. Helped me grow to be prepared for the current blessings that I have in my life. Because I don't think I would have this wonderful wife or the relationship with my son or the career that I had if I had not gone through those adversities. So, you know, I always try to find the positive in any bad situation, because you can learn from everything to be a better man.
Man, that's powerful. What about you, Larry?
Oh, man. I have had so many different one. So the one that come to mind after listening to Sharon just then, 1993 Mother's Day, I had a motorcycle wreck. I was running 80 on a little bit of street in a car. I was getting ready to go head on with it. I shift right, the car went left. I lost the bike. I slid over 2 miles. And as I was sliding on the bike, I hit the front tire, hit a curl, the back tire turned around and hit the same curl, and my thigh hit at the same time, and it split me into, I was split from the groin area to the side. And the only thing I can remember is God saying, Larry, I got you, no matter what. I felt no pain. But once I got to the hospital, they did the surgery and everything to get me back together. You know, the doctor said that I would never walk again. But now to see who I am today, that I'm striving, I'm pushing, I'm going, you could never tell that I had that motorcycle wreck. You can never tell that I was a person in the position that would never walk again. I think that's when God first opened my eyes, 1993.
Wow. And that, look, that's amazing. Listen, I got to take a quick break. I don't even want to go, but let me take this break and we'll be right back after this.
Have you priced commercials lately? Advertising can truly break your budget. At Win, we eliminate the most common hurdle to advertising. Advertise with Win to reach potential customers locally, nationally, and internationally for as low as $150. Yes, that's right, $150 per commercial. We Inspire Network Radio is a new and rapidly growing online radio network that boasts of dynamic seasoned show hosts who are drawing audiences from across the nation and abroad. Africa, Australia, Scotland, Canada, just to name a few. We also have the technical capabilities to advertise your products and services through sound bites, slideshows, and more. No long-term contracts. You pay per show. Advertise on Win, and you are sure to be a winner. For more information, call us 201-477-0469. Email Annie Bell at wealthmanagement-fs.org.
All right, and we are back. I'm John L. Solomon, and you tuned in to Strength from the Lion's Den. Listen, we're powered by We Inspire Network Radio. And I'm partnered with some good people that want you to win. And we're definitely being inspired tonight. I want to thank everyone who's tuned in tonight. I want you to get a copy of my book, The Power Keys Life of Wisdom Series. I want to give you a free copy. Just go to my page or inbox me or email me, and I will give you a free copy of it. It's called Power Keys Life of Wisdom Series, Volume 1, just for being a listener tonight. Now, I'm talking tonight with some powerful men, Mr. Sharon Wright, Mr. Lonnie Salyer, and Mr. Reverend Larry Wilson. Listen, before the break, they were sharing with us some adversities, some things that they went through. Now, we all go through things, and we all have a support system. I want to know what people in your past gave you a hand up, you know, who helped you to be the person that you are. What men or women or both can you say have been paramount figures, maybe then or and even now, who have been vital in helping you become the person that you are? I'm going to start with you, Lonnie.
All right. That's a great question, John. In the past, my parents were really grounded, salt-of-the-earth people.
Mm-hmm.
They were both high school dropouts and, mm-hmm. and just worked hard all their life, ended up owning their own business for a while, very successful. But what they taught me is no matter where you're from, that's no excuse for not being better.
That's good.
You know, don't let someone put you in a box and say, "Hey, you're from the wrong side of town," or, you know, or I know where you live, your neighborhood. You're never going to be successful. They taught me that, you know, hard work and determination, you can get to a better place in life, and they encouraged me continuously to do that. And the second person thinking of currently is my wife. You've met my wonderful wife, Audrey Wilcox.
Yes.
She always pushes me to strive to be better, you know, to release the power inside me, all the potential. She helps me boost my confidence daily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if there's a task, she says, "I know you can do it. You have it in you." Or I wouldn't have married you if I didn't think you had the potential to be better. And that inspires me to try to strive for greatness daily.
Man, that's powerful. You know what? My wife encourages me too. You know, like the day we was off, and I had a honey do list. It was honey do this and honey do that. You know, just so encouraging. No, I'm joking. I'm just a joke. no, but I know exactly what you mean, having someone like that. What about you, Sharon?
I would say from a group standpoint first. The neighborhood I grew in, up in, including your parents, John, who were really influential with me. And I had people that I could actually look up to. And when we talk about adversity, I was taught by two men a couple of men. But the first is my high school coach, a man by the name of Don Richardson. We called him Doug. He kind of just made sure that we had a lot of gang activity in our neighborhood. We had a lot of stuff to get a hold of. but he just kind of made sure that I had something to hold on to. And not just basketball. I learned, you know, life etiquette. I learned how to treat people. I learned the golden rule. I learned how to be a stand-up person, all of that. And I think, I mean, when I hit bottom, man, that's him that I think about. A funny story is every time we were high school, we were ran like military. So, you know, we had to be on time for everything. It teaches you in your life. So now, if I'm in the car late for something, I start sweating. I just see him in my mind. I'm like, he's like right there by me. Like, you're late. You know, and that's why I'm never late to anything in my life. The other person is Julius Erving. You know, I'm Dr. J, but Julius has been and has been and still and was just very influential in how I thought, you know, how I went about my day. When I came into the NBA as a young guy. So I had a lot of young, older guys in my corner. Steve Nix, George McGinnis, Moses Malone, guys like that, Maurice Cheeks, John Lucas, Dr. J, Billy Cunningham. Those are guys that I was around early. And thank God I was drafted really high because if I had gone to a team where I had to just kind of be around a guy that are just 1 year older than me, I'd probably have been doing crazy stuff. But I was around Dr. J. Who can say that? You know,
man.
I could have learned anytime I wanted. That was something crazy to me. But I've had some good people. Those are just two.
Man, that's powerful. It did, didn't it think that we had Jeff Malone right there in our neighborhood with us as well, you know?
And he was on my first team. Jeff was one of – oh, I couldn't have made it without Jeff, man. Couldn't have made it out of without Jeff.
Amen.
Yeah, that's so many.
Wow, that's amazing. Pastor Larry, what about you, man? Come
on. Wow. Man, Sharon, thank you, God. For me, the guy that taught me how to hustle taught me how to be the type of person that I am today. And the reason he taught me everything about it in the streets. He taught me from how to start to how to finish and how to stay out the police way. He taught me all of those things. But this is the same guy that introduced me to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. This is the same guy that introduced me to the Bible. He introduced me to God. But when, you know, God was positioning me through the people that I channeled through, you know, and then as he was positioning me through the people that I channeled through, and then I look at it now, this guy really taught me a lot. He taught me how to get money, not the illegal way. He actually taught me how to get money on a business standpoint. He was a graduate from Fort Valley. He did a lot of great things, but he also put education in me. Now, the reason I say that, because most of my siblings and the other ones around my family, I was the first to finish high school compared to that. You know, so that was a plus on my behalf. You know what I'm saying? And then after high school, he taught me into going into the military. I ended up getting a job with the fire department here in Macon. And so and it just changed my life completely. So, you know, that guy is the number one key guy then and even today. I still give him the praise, God the praise for that guy right there, because if it weren't for the things I seen what not to do, I want to know what to do.
It's powerful. And I also, I like how you transition your same work ethic from the street, you transfer it over into legitimate business, man. That's a powerful way. And I know a lot of our young people need to learn that, you know. But Larry, let me stay with you. Let me stay with you while we're here. We've often heard that failure is not an option. Well, when you're setting your goals, is failure an option? Because we do run into tough times sometimes, but is failure an option in your mindset?
No. That's the only time you can use no and can't. No and can't. That's the only time you can use that, because no, failure is not the option. You cannot, you know what I'm saying, not serving the type of God that we serve. And I hate to keep referring back to God, but that's my strength in all that I do. And a lot of time I have to encourage myself through the word of God to get me to the next level. So failure is not an option. Now, for me personally, I'm a guy that lost 11 acres of land, a 2,800 square feet high.
Wait, stop. You said 1 acre?
No, 11 acres of land.
Okay.
A 2,800 square 2,800 square foot house, 5 brand new cars, wife died, job left, all at the same time. And I had 3 kids to feed in 1 house. You think that was going to be good enough for them to say that I quit, I failed? No, I had to move on. But it was by the strength of the Lord that I was able to move on. Now, what it was showing me that no matter what your what your opposition is, you still got to trust me in all that you do. So, no, failure is not an option on my team.
Okay, I got you. Sharon, how would you? How? What's your take on that? Because some people say, "Well, I've failed," and is failure an option when you're setting your goals? Or
yeah, I agree with them. I think it's all about how you look at it. But again, we get trials and tribulations all the time. I spoke earlier about me being in a car accident, and you know, I had a $60 million extension on the table. As soon as they found out that I wasn't going to play for 2 years, that was gone. And
wow.
Then I had to kind of pick it up. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing. But you know what? I mean, you always have to, like, really, really put your faith in front of you. As I said, you know, walk by faith, not by sight. I think that's for me. I feel I was down, John. I was down.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have, you know, my friends and my family, you know, Daniel Stoudemire, guys like that, you know, that helped me through the transition period. I think for athletes, there's a transition period when the time that you stop playing or something happens and then the rest of your life starts. And when you don't have anything to go back with that, and education is huge. But there are a lot of us that don't have that. A lot of guys don't have that. So, you know, that's the worst part of my life, I think. Even over the car accident, I've had divorces, you know, divorce. I had all of that. I mean, we all have had stuff like that. And then when you don't have some type of faith, man, I'm like Rev, I'm not trying to go back into the Bible and that, but it really helped me. Man, you got to understand, like, I was down. And, you know, I looked upon all the other stuff that I do, like in the community and making. That's the stuff that kept me going. Like, you know, things that I'm prevalent to that helps anybody else. If you can step outside of yourself and see other people, then it'll help you.
Man, that's incredible. Lonnie, what about you?
After listening to both of those stories, I think there's a difference between failing and failure.
Okay.
Failing is where we grow. We all are going to fail, but not settling for failing is where we grow. That's where, you know, because success can be elusive, and the value of the journey is really more important than the destination. Getting back up and not accepting, hey, I failed today, but I'm not going to be a failure. Yeah, you know, I think that's paramount to being successful in life. But too many people give up when there's a couple stones in the path, they give up. You know, that's, hey, I'll just stand here and I won't step on any more stones. And at that point, you know, you let failure take over. And I don't.
And Lonnie, a lot of people give up too soon.
Yes, because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you know, if you go out, let's like say in Sharon's case, if you went out and the first time you ever shot a basket, you know, you missed a basket, you say, well, I'm not a basketball player. Well, everybody misses. You gotta keep taking the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of people find the comfort zone, so they make excuses for not being successful because there's pain along the way to be successful. And whatever you start at point A and you may end up somewhere else in life, but you gotta keep going.
Man.
To your point, Lonnie, that is a perfect piece, because like a lot of us don't see it that way. And I think, you know, when they get to like you're going along and you got tunnel vision. I teach my kids to have tunnel vision about what they want. I teach all the kids in making that like that, all the hundreds and thousands of kids I've serviced in the summertime. I teach them to have tunnel vision, but there's always going to be like you can go left and right, or you can have like potholes in your way. They're going to be stumbling blocks. And what are you going to do with that? How are you going to get over that stuff? You know, and that's what defines us. It's about the journey. It's not about where you start. It's how many times you get up, how many times you get knocked down, how many times you're able to persevere. I love that word.
Wow.
Because if it was easy, everybody would live in a big house and wear nice suits and have a pretty wife and have all the things they want in life. But you got to work for them.
That's so powerful.
Can I sign
Larry,
up for that?
Larry, I'm going to let you chime in on that. We're going to go for a break. When we come right back, Larry, I'm going to let you speak on that. Hey, y'all stay tuned in. Strength from the Lion Den.
Hello, everybody. My name is Minister Annie Bell, and I am the host of I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show, where we endeavor to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas, as well as being the vehicle by which we use to bring awareness and resources to the community to aid in the prevention of these abuses. I Reign, which is a declarative acronym for the individual survivor, that means I identify myself as a survivor, no longer a victim. R, reclaim my life. E, excel at living. G, grow in Christ. And N, nurture myself and others. This declarative acronym has developed into a victorious lifestyle brand that empowers and aids in the healing journey of survivors of abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas. I have also written a book entitled, with the namesake, I Reign, A Survivor's Guide to Thrive, which is now available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Pick up your copy of my book today and join me every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. here on We Inspire Network Radio, where together, through God, we win. If we endure, we will reign with Christ.
All right, and we are back. I'm Apostle John L. Solomon, and you tune in to Strength from the Lion's Den. We're powered by We Inspire Network Radio, WIN Radio. COO Lloyd Bell and CEO Annie Bell, they're some good people, and they want us to win. Listen, tonight we're talking about men on a mission, the power to achieve. I have with me tonight Mr. Sharon Wright, Mr. Lonnie Salyer, and Mr. Larry Wilson. Listen, you guys you're a breath of fresh air. This is so refreshing. Just listening to y'all share, man, it's incredible. My wife says she's really enjoying it. She say no women bashing going on. She's loving it. Larry, you want to chime in on that last statement? We was talking about persevering and no excuses. You want to say something?
Yes, I did. Sharon, you hit it on the head, man. Right here in making me proud. In 2011, God put it in my heart to come with TRAP. TRAP meaning truth, reality, and perseverance. And that's one of the key things that we talk to the kids and the parents. You know, you can't let what you see, the obstacles that you go through, trap you in the same mindset that you have, that you have to hustle here or you have to do these, you know, illegal type things. There's some illegal hustles that you can do. So what we keyed in on is in getting the parents to know that our kids already have an advantage because of the computer age that we're in. So, therefore, they're learning these things on a regular basis. So, we had to teach the parents how to persevere in order to get a higher education, in order to get the kids to where we need them to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, there's no failure in this. You know, you can't fail. You have to press on in spite of what you see. Yeah, Joe lives next door. Joe sells 2 and 3 kids a week. But at the same time, you can't worry about what Joe doing. You got to educate your child to say, this is the level we need to go in. You know, even into the music that we're listening to today, you got to let them know this is all fun and game for us, like a cartoon on that state. They ain't really shooting nobody. They ain't really doing anything. They talking about these things because of who they are, but not whom they are. See, the thing when they're talking about shooting and all, these guys that you're talking about are way educated. They're engineers. This is their design to trap your mind. You got to let your kid know this thing. And so
I like how you're saying this, how Lonnie put it, failing and failure is such a difference. Well, I want to go to this question here, Lonnie. Some people come from the school of thought, you should only have a plan A or bust. You know, I've heard people say just a plan A or that's it. But there are other schools of thought that say you need a plan A backed up by a plan B or plan C. What's your philosophy on that?
That's an excellent question, John.
Lonnie, you keep calling me an excellent host. I appreciate that, man. Go ahead.
Well, you are. It's a pleasure to be on the show, and I've learned so much from Sharon and Larry already. It's been enriching. But you know, if you have a plan A, you know, certainly this kind of like goes back to the last question. Strive to be successful. Work your plan. Try to get there. Persevere. But somewhere along the line, you know, if you realize A is not realistic, as you grow and mature, you got to have the wisdom to pursue a B, a C, a D, et cetera, to help you. You know, several things here. Number one, the journey, it's going to help you figure out who you are as a person, first of all, because, you know, the plan A you have at 17 is not going to be the plan A you have at 50.
Amen to that.
You know, you got to learn what your passions are, what your strengths are, and with that comes the wisdom to know where you should be in life. So, you know, few people are going to reach plan A, but, you know, in retrospect, I think most people will tell you as they've gotten to their comfort level in life where they think they're arrived, they will tell you that, you know, plan A was not my destiny, and I'm glad I moved on to plan B, C, D, E, and G, because I would not be who I am or where I am today if I stuck to plan A.
That's good. What about you, Sharon?
I agree with the premise of having a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. I do believe that.
Go through the alphabet if you need to.
Yeah, because we're creatures of habit, so we're gonna always think that, you know, that first thing is gonna work out. I want to go back to the neighborhood that me and John grew up in. You know, there was only a couple things you really could do. You
That's
watch
right.
our parents struggle. You know, you watch your parents struggle and stuff like that, and then you say, you know, well am I going to be an electrician or a carpenter or work for the Coca-Cola company or whatever it is? And then if you're not doing some of that back then, you know, we're talking about Reaganomics at the time. So, like, you got to have something that you can go right to. I mean, that's just being well-versed. You know, I have a passion for children. I have a passion for community work. I have a passion for – I work in social services now. People – and I turned down 3 or 4 jobs working for New York Knicks or Philadelphia or Toronto or my teams, you know, that I played for, because I felt like my higher calling was working with kids, disadvantaged kids, at-risk kids.
Wow.
That's what I do now. And I can make more money. I can make way more money. But at this point, I've already had money, and I wasn't happy then. So
all right,
happier,
man. Come on, man.
You know, when I'm doing
what
things.
Say that?
John will tell you, I've been doing the same camp and stuff for 24 years, man. And
I was gonna ask you to say something about that, because we're coming up on it. And I got to make sure I get in on it this summer. You know.
Yeah. We have just, you know, just for a short, quick throw-in, we've just done so much good work, God's work, I call it. We've done, you know, so many amazing things, man, and I don't even have enough time to talk about it. It's just so dear to my heart with what we do, and we've done the commercialism of it. We've grown, had partnerships with Boys and Girls Clubs, with DFACS, with, you know, we scholarship about 30 kids, man. And now that I work for Adidas, they do the top 50 kids in the state. We bring them in basketball wise, and then right after that, we have the kids that, you know, they're not basketball players. I like working with those who are not skilled, who may not eat that day. So we feed them real good, and they get gear from Adidas, and I make sure they get grab bags, and just we do skill set stuff. We do life skill stuff, etiquette stuff. That's like, man.
It's so powerful. You were given a platform, and you give so much back. That's what I feel is all about. You know.
Amen.
Yeah. Not just me though. I mean, there are many.
Yeah.
I'm interested in Larry's organization. As a matter of fact, I was gonna pass my information. I mean, I'm interested in that, because I mean, there's a lot of us that are doing a lot of good stuff, man. It's just, you know, each one teach one, and we gotta, you know, through God's will, we have to do it, because if not, you know, you have situations that we see in the news all the time. You know, we gotta find. If you can say one or two of them in summer, hey, that's enough. You know, just
that's
keep
it,
going.
Right,
you know, and,
that's it.
You know, I was that kid. You know, not to bring it on. I was that kid. John, I tell you, I was that kid. Yeah. I was that kid, and. You know,
man, we were heading down that road, man.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
We were, man. When John went to the Navy, man, that broke my heart when John left.
You're right, man. I got out so fast. I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew if I didn't get out of there, I knew where I was headed. Larry, what about you, man, in the plan A, a bus, or have a backup plan? What's your thoughts on that, brother?
Man, Sharon, well, you just put something in my mind, and I'm like, God, thank you. I'm going to tell you, a lot of us, you know, when I was a kid, I hated counting to 10 because you always had to go back to 1. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, you know, I just hated counting to 10. But I noticed that when I learned how to count to 10, I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, another 1, we hate to start over. We hate to go back to 1. So the start over is a different. Now when you go 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and you get to 21, that's another 1. That's another start over. So when you're the smartest kid between all the ones that you're hanging with, you need to go up another level.
Yeah.
So therefore, what you are asking now, the start over is the thing that we hate to do. But I would take every alphabet there is from A to Z if it takes that to get to the next level, because every level is a new beginning. So in every new beginning, you have to go back to 1 and start all over again. So with the question that you're asking, start at 1, no matter what level you are at. And then if it's from 1 to 10, and then from 11 to 20, start at 1.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 is a new beginning in all that you do.
But it's all right to skip a few levels if you know, you know, if you already know, that's okay. Listen, I wanna just do this right briefly. I just wanna it just hit me. Did you see yourself becoming the person that you are, Lonnie? Did you see yourself with your career and everything? Sharon, did you see yourself going that high in the draft? Larry, did you see yourself leading this organization and starting these things? Did you see yourself where you are right now? Now I'm gonna break right quick. I'll think about that, and when we come back, I want you to answer that. Just you know what I was giving you. So, hey, hold on a minute. We'll be right back.
Have you priced commercials lately? Advertising can truly break your budget. At Win, we eliminate the most common hurdle to advertising. Advertise with Win to reach potential customers locally, nationally, and internationally for as low as $150. Yes, that's right, $150 per commercial. We Inspire Network Radio is a new and rapidly growing online radio network that boasts of dynamic seasoned show hosts who are drawing audiences from across the nation and abroad. Africa, Australia, Scotland, Canada, just to name a few. We also have the technical capabilities to advertise your products and services through sound bites, slideshows, and more. No long-term contracts. You pay per show. Advertise on Win, and you are sure to be a winner. For more information, call us 201-477-0469. Email Annie Bell at wealthmanagement-fs.org.
Hello, my name is Minister Lloyd Bell Jr., CEO of We Inspire Network Radio.
God bless you, and I am Minister Annie Bell, the COO of We Inspire Network Radio. We had you, our listeners, in mind when we created We Inspire Network Radio, or as we like to call it, WIN Radio.
We incorporated your thoughts and opinions to ensure that our programming will embody true inspiration.
And we will continue to bring relevant and heartfelt shows that cater to the needs and wants of our growing listener base.
Please, subscribe to our network so that you can stay connected.
Join us here every week,
where together, through God, we win.
All right, and we're back. I'm Apostle John L. Solomon, and you are inside Science Den, and we're giving you strength. We're empowered by We Inspire Network Radio. Tonight I have Sharon Wright, Mr. Sharon Wright, Mr. Lonnie Salyer, and Pastor Larry Wilson. Man, I'm telling you guys, incredible. Now, before the break, I asked you each a question, and I'm going to start with you, Sharon. Did you, you know, sometimes you can see yourself, when you're growing up, you can visualize, you can envision, but did you see yourself becoming the person that you are today?
Basketball-wise, yes. I worked really hard. I mean, like I said, I was a clumsy kid. I didn't really take to the game easily. Mm-hmm. I played a lot of baseball. I played a lot of other things. And until my strike zone got too big, so I had to kind of concentrate on basketball. But,
okay.
As an athlete, I did. I could just see it. My dad was 6'5". I knew. It would eventually come. But as a humanitarian, a human being,
mm-hmm.
and a person that cares about,
yeah.
Just making. I'm in mm-hmm. Florence. I live in Florence. I'm heavily in Clemson athletics. I deal with a lot of kids. Lost a good friend yesterday, and Andre Taylor.
The person
I grew up with. I can see myself. I couldn't see myself that because of my surroundings early on. I'm glad I graduated to that. But as basketball, I knew I was going.
Okay. Well, I know you was excited about them Tar Heels.
No, I was not.
I know you were.
And I won't be.
But Sharon, one thing I appreciate about you and your post is, man, that you stay real. And don't change for nobody. Please stay just like that. What about you, Lonnie? Did you see yourself becoming the man that you are? Did you see your success? Did you see and then being this outstanding Tennessee Volunteer? Did you see all these things?
Go Vols! you have a vision of who you want to be, I think, when you're young. And some people get to that point, but a lot of times the vision you have and the person you become as you mature, I mean, that person's mm-hmm. a stranger to you.
Okay.
You kind of touch it back on what Larry was talking about, starting over at one but building. Sometimes mm-hmm. If I'm thinking back on my life, I can almost compartmentalize a certain part of my life and think about it. And I think, that guy's a stranger. That's not me. So, as you grow and mature in life, all the things you think are important, all the goals, they change as your priorities in life change. So it's kind of hard to say I'm going to go on this path and that's mm-hmm. you can have a tool like Sharon had basketball as a tool, but who you are today is not who you even could fathom you would be in the past, and that can be bad or good. I'm sure there's not one person who's homeless on the street corner who at 14 said, my desire is to be that guy who sleeps under the bridge down there behind the kitchen cream. Nobody desires that. Life happens. And so, it's kind of hard to say that's who I want to be when you don't really know who you're going to be. Does that make
sense?
Good.
What about you?
It makes perfect sense.
It does. Pastor Larry, going from the trap to the top, from the pit to the palace, what did you see? Did you see those things for yourself?
Absolutely not. No idea. None of those things. Not from the beginning of it to the end. Man, let me share a little. I was raised to hustle and hustle only. From the age of 6, I knew what it was to run numbers. I knew what it was to any hustle that you can think of.
You went back with that one. Run numbers. Ooh, numbers run. Go ahead, man.
So
what do you call
it,
the bug or something like that?
Yeah. So let me show you, Doc. My biggest goal, I remember telling my third grade teacher this, Miss Singleton, and my sixth grade teacher, Miss L.E. Poe, my biggest goal in life is to be the best hood nigga I can be at that time. Didn't have the mentality of nothing or knowing what I was saying, but those the word that I was using because those are things that was around me. So that's why I say a lot of times your surroundings can kick you all the way down when you don't know. Well, man, let me show you from where I came from that day to where I am now. Man, absolutely not. I never thought that I'd be preaching and teaching the Word of God. I never thought that I'd be looking at a different race in a different manner and in a different vision of what I do. I never thought that, because what I seen, that's what I thought it were. So to answer that question, honestly, God has did a complete turnaround from the one man that taught me how to hustle to how to live. And that's God.
Powerful, man. Well, we're in the last, man, I hate for the show to end, but we're in the last maybe 9-10 minutes of the show. I want to get these two questions in, if you fellas can work with me. I want to know, I want you to speak directly to a man out there. But before we do that, I want to know, what legacy do you want to leave behind for your family, friends, and future generations? Let's start with you, Lonnie.
Honestly, I just want people to believe that I was honest and fair in life. You know, I don't have to have a statue or a wing of the hospital named after me or anything to leave as a legacy. My legacy, you know, is going to be the generations that I impact that I don't even know. You know, if I've done something good to change someone's life, and if they, you know, maybe a stranger at the gas station, I gave $5 because she needed gas, and I knew, you know, you could tell by the look on her face that, you know, it's $5 to me, but it could change her whole life today. I don't know that person. And, you know, those are, I'm not saying that, the, you know, it's not.
No, that's
but,
good.
But, you know, the little things you do that are insignificant to you can completely change someone else's life. Kind of like
amen,
later you're talking about the teacher, you know, that teacher in third grade probably had positive influence on your life that, you know, at the time you didn't recognize. So I just want to be someone that people can say, that guy, you know, that guy touched me or helped me see something about myself that I didn't recognize, and I appreciate it. I appreciate that he was, you know, he had a moment in my life that helped me change my life. Yeah,
wow,
and,
little things do mean a lot, too. They do.
Yeah, they do.
What about you, Larry? What legacy do you want to leave behind for your family, friends, and future generations?
I want the work God has placed in me and I have done to speak for itself no matter what it is. Because if it coming from the bottom and trying to rise to the top and falling back to the bottom, just know that it was a positive mindset that got me to where I was going. And my legacy needs to say to me is that God prevailed no matter what the circumstances were.
Amen. And what about you, Sharon? What legacy do you want to leave behind for family, friends, and future generations? What do you want them to say?
I think for me, I like it to be anything but basketball. You know, that just happened to be my job at some point. But I think I want, and this is plain and simple, I'm not even going to elaborate on it, I want my name to be synonymous with the word service. That's it.
Wow.
Anything else?
That's all.
That's it.
I want to be synonymous with service. And, you know, that's a powerful word that we don't use very much.
Yes, it is.
That's it.
Yeah.
Man, that's incredible. Well, you know, y'all just shattered my dreams of a statue and a wing in a hospital. And, I'm just joking. I'm kidding. No, but this
John, I have one Tim Duncan autograph for you, though.
Oh, man, yes, sir. You know I love them Spurs. I got my Spurs jersey on now as they get ready to win the NBA championship. Hey, I love basketball. Hey, but I digress. Let me do my show right. As we get ready to close, we're in our final 6 minutes of the show. Listen, Dad, you guys have been powerful, a breath of fresh air, so refreshing, so inspiring. But there may be a man out there who's listening, and he may be struggling with the direction of his life, some things he's going through, hard times. If you could just give him some encouraging words that could uplift him. I'm going to start with you, legend, Sharon.
Mm-hmm. I would just say turn the corner. Have the ability to turn the corner. And then when you turn that corner, there's something great on the other side. You know, just do that. Have the ability to persevere. That word, you know, I use certain words, but I would say that. Persevere.
That's powerful. You know what? That's what I tell my young people, my students. I said, look, you got to turn the corner. I said, you got to turn the corner and keep on going, you know. So that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Lonnie, what would you share with that man?
Well, I would build on what Sharon said. No matter your circumstance, life's tough. I know it's tough, and I've had those tough times. You know, where you had 3 cents in your pocket and no gas You didn't get paid for 3 days later trying to figure out how are you going to do that. You know, just know your real worth and try to discover your worth and your potential, because no matter what life tells you that, you're nothing or you're a failure or no one cares, we all have gifts. You have to find that place in yourself and appreciate yourself, appreciate the gifts that God has given you, and try to leverage those into success. I mean, because if life was easy, we would all be smiling and laughing all the time. But
that's
you try
right.
to find those things within yourself to overcome adversity.
Man, incredible.
Right.
Pastor Larry.
Wow. I'm going to piggyback on what these guys said, and it's definitely true. No matter what your obstacles are, don't be afraid to start at one. Don't be, because no matter what come your way, one can give you a difference from 1 and 11, and from 11 to 21. You know, it's a difference in every one. Just remember, your one is on a different level no matter where you're at. Even when you're at the gut bottom, just like gutting a fish, no matter if your guts are hanging out, everything seems like it's gone, just start at 1. One can get you to the next level no matter what, because 1 have to go to 10, and 10 have to go to 21. So no matter what, keep building no matter what your circumstances look like.
Amen. Listen, I just want to thank you all tonight for just elevating the show. Come on, let's give it up. I'm my guest again. Yeah. Tonight, we really strengthened people, helped people. Like you said, me and Sharon, we grew up together in the same neighborhood. It's just amazing what God has done in your life. And, brother, I'm so proud of you, and I thank God for you. Amen.
Thank you.
And I met Lonnie several years ago at was it Asheville, North Carolina, Lonnie?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina.
One of those things, I met you, and I'm like, there's something special about that guy. And, we became friends on Facebook, and it's been, I'm honored to have you in my life.
Well, brother, you got a workout regimen that you're doing that it inspires me. You know, I don't always do the workout, but I say, yeah, it encourages me. And
the part you don't see, John, is I come home and eat 2 Twinkies after a workout. It's a continual battle, but I don't give a.
That's all right.
Are you both and guys? I'm sorry. Are you guys both on Facebook? Because I'm on John's page, and I'd love to connect with you guys.
Oh, I'd love to connect you guys.
All right. Well, there's just a connection. And Pastor Larry, you know I work with you. You are one of the hardest working men, and you're my brother, and I appreciate you for just supporting the show and being here, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, Pastor. Hey, but I noticed that everybody on here, just a second now, comes from South Carolina or North Carolina. The Carolinas is on this phone, man, for some reason.
Come on, now, you know why.
And I was saying that to say that all of us, me and Sharon, we both from Macon, but we shared in Carolina. And then Lance,
Lonnie, you
got to
speak
Carolina.
Up for Tennessee, Lonnie. You got to speak up for Tennessee. Lonnie.
Well, you know. Let's have a call during football. Oh, I can't. Well, Lonnie, okay.
Hey, listen, I just want to tell you tonight, these have been men on a mission with the power to achieve. I thank God for them. And all our listeners, you can catch the replay once I put it up on Facebook. If you did not hear the show in its entirety, you can catch it then. And to all my listeners, I appreciate your support for Strength from the Lion's Den. Continue to support it. We want to syndicate the show. We want to go on Sirius. We just want sponsors. We want to keep going higher and higher. Listen, what I want you to do is join me next week, April the 12th, when I will be talking to a panel of prolific speakers who discuss the power of communication, speaking your way to victory. So remember, when you're feeling down and out, you just let out that roar for your victory, that roar that says you can overcome, that roar that says you're not a failure, that roar that says you have purpose. So thank you tonight. Thank you for all my guests. And we'll see you next week on Strength from the Lion's Den.